Okay, here we go. Good, it's recording. Okay, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Oh! Father, as always, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And thank you for that privilege. You are just so awesome, Jesus. And Lord, today, as I said to you on the way here, I want you to minister through me. But Lord, I don't just want to be doing ministry. I want you to minister to me. It's all about relationship with you and everything we do. And I don't want to in any way get caught up in trying to do for you instead of doing with you or letting you flow through and do what it is you want. So we just want to invite you to be the orchestrator, to be the originator of this time together. We're asking that you, the best I could do is plant these words in ears, but I'm asking you to plant them in our hearts and our spirits that they may bring forth fruit unto your glory, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We're asking that you would be the teacher, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate, you would expound, you would quicken, you would make alive, you would reveal Jesus, you would reveal truth unto us, you would open us up, that you would be the one that plants us inside of us, and as we walk away from here, you would bring to our attention, bring to our understanding at the right time, in the right way, what you want us to see and understand. We simply wish to exalt you and honor you in everything we say and do here. Lord, this isn't about packing our heads with knowledge. This is about learning how to let you flow through us. So we commit this time into your hands. We say, thank you, Jesus. We're just totally dependent on you. Amen. I want to just read a few things to you. I just wrote all this stuff down. One night, God woke me up at 1:30 and got to go to bed about 4:30. After I wrote this, so I'll expound on it as we go, but I just want to read this. Your life is a sum total of the choices you make. Your life is a sum total of the choices you make. The Bible says, I set before you life and death. I think that's in Deuteronomy. I did not look up these verses. One of the reasons I didn't, I started to, and the Lord said, are they students? Are you going to hand feed them like little baby birds? Or are they going to grow? You can't do everything for them. This will stretch them and cause them to grow. I set before you life and death. Number two, choose you this day whom you will serve. You'll find that in that book, the book of Joshua. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I think that's in the book of James. I wrote these three things. I want light. I want truth. I want Jesus. I want truth. I want light. I want Jesus. A prayer. Please expose any error in my thinking, beliefs, and feelings, that I may be delivered by breaking agreement with them. Please expose any error in my thinking, beliefs, and feelings, that I may be delivered by breaking agreement with them. We all make choices. We have The reason that we do what we do, or that we think what we think, is because of the choices that we have made. There's many, as we go through life and you look back, you know, there's that old saying, hindsight is 20/20. It's real easy when you're looking back to see and understand. One of the reasons for mentors, one of the reasons for teachers, for trainers, for leaders that God has put in our lives. He doesn't just have children of any, whether it's animal kingdom or human. He doesn't have any just be born out there to themselves. They always have a parent. And they're there to help raise that child, help train them, help minimize their, make their learning curve easier. Minimize the error. Minimize that. Who said this? My dad? My wife? I don't remember. My wife says, surround yourself with people that are strong in the areas you're weak in. Surround yourself with people that are strong in the areas you're weak in. My dad says, you can't borrow character, but you can borrow brains. You can't borrow character, but you can borrow brains. There's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. I have met a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge. And the way I describe a lot of people in that category is they know enough to be dangerous. I've seen them in movies where people can quote the scripture, but they're usually the villain. They're usually the guy that's the bad guy that you want to look out for, the crazy person. And yet they can quote scripture. Why? I just had a guy come to my door yesterday. And I tried to tell him to go away. I'm not interested. Go away. All these people come to my door. I can't even tell you where we are situated in our neighborhood. People come. We must have 5 to 10 a week knock on our door. And they all start off the same. They're door-to-door salesmen is what they are. And I've been one. And I try to be kind to them. I can't even tell you how many telemarketers call me every day. And I try to be nice to them. But I kindly say, I'm not interested. Thank you. Have a good day. And I hang up on them. I don't care if they're talking or not. I didn't call them. They called me. I've got enough people. I'm usually putting somebody on hold to answer their call. We all have choices to make. Now, if we want to keep going, continue where we're at, then keep making the same choices of what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't be open. Don't listen. Don't receive instruction. Don't receive correction. Bless God, you probably already know everything. Why are they telling you anything? But if you realize that this is called the Christian walk, not the Christian arrival, then what we need to do is we need to be open. Now, how do we do that? In Proverbs, it says, my son, cease to hear the instruction that causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. How can we be open and yet beware of receiving correction, receiving error? How can we be open? One day we were sitting in church here. I'll tell you about the guy yesterday that knocked on my door. But one day we were sitting in church here and somebody stood up and wanted to talk about something, and I said, Lord, they wanted to talk about that, they wanted to give a 10-minute discourse, which they, God had me let them, right in a church service, of why there is no hell, and why people don't go to hell. And I'm like, Lord, I want there to be freedom, but listen to what they're saying. It's error. And God said, let them talk. I said, I don't understand. He said, Harv, number one, he said, they're not saved. So they're talking about something. What would you expect from an unsaved person? Number two, because what they're speaking is not in agreement with truth, he said, what they're going to do, I said, how's it going to affect the other people in the church? He said, hopefully it will make them look into the scripture. If all you ever do is just, if you're going to be the whole one that's telling them what is right and what is wrong, then they're following you. And they're not learning for themselves. They're just little babies always being spoon-fed. And that's what you find in many places. He said, what's going to happen is when things are said that are not true or things that are going to make them have to look, well, that ruffles my feathers. Well, that color's outside my lines. Now what are they going to do? We're going to find out if they're a truth seeker or not. If they're a truth seeker, they're going to go. Maybe they'll come to you, and instead of you telling them all what's right and calming them down and brushing their feathers back in nice, smooth little form, why don't you give them some what I call jumpstart verses or diving board verses where they can go and seek the truth for themselves. If they're just going to be a man follower, then today they may follow you, and if you ruffle their feathers or say something they don't like or hurt their little feelings, then they're going to go follow some other man. What we want them to be, what we want everyone to be, is a follower of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul said it this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of me. And that's where most preachers, I think, stop, and most religious leaders stop. Be ye therefore followers of me. But the verse didn't stop there. It went on to say, even as I also follow Christ. How do you know if I'm following Christ? You need to have a Bible. You need to be looking in the Bible for your answers. I mean, if you want to go look in other books, go look in other books. But my book, my final authority, is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. John chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. The woman at the well, he's talking with her. And he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. They're not going to contradict one another. Sometimes, as God brought us into the things of the Spirit, we thought some of the things of the Spirit contradicted the Word. But it was only because we had been taught against those things of the Spirit because our leaders were afraid of them or our leaders weren't willing to look into them or to follow them. They weren't willing for that. Let me talk about the man yesterday. A man knocks on my door. He's a door-to-door salesman. He starts cleaning my window, cleaning it. Now he's showing me how it won't shrink. Da-da-da-da-da. Actually, before that, he knocked on my door. I was home alone. I was doing a bunch of phone calls and stuff. And he knocks on the door. He's ringing the bell. Okay, I'll go answer the door. He's standing there. He wants to start running his little spiel on me. He's got his little satchel. He's got this bottle in his hand to start spraying. And I'm like, I'm not interested, not trying to be rude. I just have a lot of people knock on my door every week. I don't want to hear about it. Thank you. But, thank you. And I close the door. I turn around. The Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to go back and talk to him. Lord, I don't want to talk to him. See, I'm not sure it's God because it went against what I wanted. It went against my flesh. It went against me being in control. There's some clues here. Anyway, so, Lord, I don't want to do that. Harvey, I want you to do it. Go stop him and talk to him. Apologize to him for how you talk to him. And then explain to him more clearly, well, I want you to go talk to him. Okay, Lord. So I go. The guy's walking out my driveway, and I said, excuse me. So he comes back. I apologize. I explained to him more thoroughly why I talked to him like I did. Long story short, we start talking about Jesus. How in the daylights that happened, I don't know. Everywhere I go, somehow the conversation turns to Jesus. I'm going through a drive-thru. Next thing I know, I'm talking about Jesus. It doesn't matter if I'm buying a hamburger or doing banking. Everywhere I go, that's what seems to happen. I've noticed through the years that you can't help but talk about what you're full of. You ought to write that down. You can't help but talk about what you're full of. So that's why I tell people all the time, we need to get empty of self, sin, Satan, the world system, and our stinking thinking so that we could get filled up with high test premium from heaven, the Holy Spirit, so that everywhere we go, that's what spills out of us. People don't need a super Christian. People don't need you to be the example of Christ. What people need is for you to admit that you're the example of a sinner that needs Jesus every minute of the day so that you can point them to Jesus. They can identify with that. You're some super example. Either you're going to fall in their eyes, whether you did or not, or you're presenting a false image of something they can't live up to, and it's going to put a spirit of religion on them, a spirit of guilt, burden, manipulation, and pressure of something they can't live up to, or something they're trying to do and are constantly frustrated because they can't live up to it. So I start talking to this man about Jesus. He had a lot of Bible knowledge. He could quote Scripture. He could pray. It sounded like he's praying in the Spirit. But the guy had no victory in his life, no godly character in his life. I told him about, God told me to tell him about how I got saved as a drug dealer. As I'm telling him, he's nodding his head rapidly. Yes, that's where I was. I said, well, I was there 31 years ago. He said, well, I was there 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this guy is full. I could tell he's had a lot of church time. He's done a lot of church time. And I told him, so I'm on talking to him about Jesus. God's flowing. I'm trying to get away from him. I got phone calls. My phone kept ringing while we were talking. I told you, I had 5,000 minutes on my phone this month. Okay? On my phone. Not all my phones. Not all 9 of my phones. Just this phone. Okay? I wanted to get away. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me get away. Finally, the man says, I'm convinced. You sold me. Holds his hands out and says, go ahead, pray. Go ahead, lead me in a prayer, or whatever it was he was saying. I mean, I could get that was what he was, okay, I'm ready, go ahead, do it to me. Like that's where I was trying to take him. I'm like, now, years ago, when I was out trying to soul win, whatever, that would have been great. I finally got to my objective, and 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, bless God, now you're going to heaven. Until God showed me that they weren't going to heaven just because they prayed a little prayer. And I told him that. I said, if all you had to do was pray to get saved, I said, Jesus was a fool for dying on the cross. It's not your prayer. It's not your potential. You might want to write these down. It's not your prayer. It's not your potential. It's not your power. And it's not your promises. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I drew back in the Spirit when the man put his hands in mine, walked toward me, put his hands in mine and said, okay, I'm sold. Do with me what you want. Lead me where you want. Pray, have me pray a prayer. Whatever he said. I don't remember, but that's exactly, that was what I got in the spirit of what he was saying. It's not your prayer, power, potential, or promise. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. Do you have Jesus? Or like the little signs say, got Jesus? My point, I drew back in the Spirit. How do you deal with that, Harv? I'm glad you asked. I drew back in the Spirit. Father, what do you want me to do? It was hard to hear because there was so much expectation being put on me. It was so thick I could feel it. And I'm like, Lord, I'm having a hard time. And he's like, I'm not leading here. This is not my leading. And I drew back and I said to the guy, I said, this isn't a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, slam, bam, thank you, man, we're done here. I said, what this is, I said, I'm all about long term. I said, you obviously have a lot of Bible knowledge, a lot of exposure to church and religion. I said, but it's not helping you to develop character or power of victory in your life. I said, I could pray a prayer with you. I've done it with multiplied thousands of people. I said, I could tell you all kinds of things here. I said, but we're just going to take a minute here and we're going to draw back and ask the Spirit what to do. I don't think he knew what to do with that. But he was quiet anyway. And then what I talked to him about, when I finally started talking about a minute or two later, was I talked to him about knowing God, choosing Jesus, the Savior, instead of sin. God had me hand him one of our tracts, which, by the way, before you leave here, make sure you get one of those tracts. And I'm not saying it's the only way to present Christ, but I feel like God wants us all on the same page. And God told us that we are in Acts chapter 1 through 4, and he told me this about 2 years ago. And I'm going, Lord, why? Not quite 2 years, about a year and a half ago. I'm like, okay, if we're in Acts chapter 1 through 4, I've always noticed that 1 comes before 2. And I haven't noticed 2, Acts chapter 2, happening here yet, explosive growth and all of that. So we must be in Acts chapter 1 and what happens. And one of the things in Acts chapter 1 was they all came in on to the same page. Unity without uniformity. And for them to come into unity, they had to be willing to let go of what they were holding on to. Unity without uniformity. We don't all have to dress the same. We don't all have to act the same, speak the same. We got some weirdo over here named Clay, who's like off in left field or somewhere. I'm not even sure what field he's in. And he says all kinds of stuff and has all this kind of radical, weird thinking and wants to be off in la-la land with flint napping and living, you know, this rustic life like a Amish person or something. But he loves Jesus. And I don't understand. And he says God wants him to have a bar that he's going to reach people for Jesus. He brews beer. He colors way outside my lines. I don't have any clue what to do with that. When he first started telling me all this, I couldn't wait for him to be quiet so I could straighten him out. And the Holy Spirit's, I'm just telling you the truth. If I tell you the truth, I'm going to have to let you know, okay? And the Holy Spirit said to me, Harvey, this is of me. I'm like, I'm sorry, am I hearing you, Holy Spirit? And he's like, yep. He's like, it may not be the way Clay thinks it's going to be. He said, but it's not the way you think it's going to be either. And he said, I want you to help him, and I want you to love him, and I don't want you to try to correct him. He said, I will do the correcting. He said, but I want you to love him, and I want you to release him. And I'm going, I can release him, Lord. And he's like, no, you know what I mean. Unity without uniformity. Then we got this hot shot over here. 7 years in this 6,000-member church. He's going to charge hell with a squirt gun for Jesus. He's just going to go out and be this businessman and make $1 million every day and bring all these people, and it's all for Jesus. And it's like we got these two extremes, and then we got all these other people in between. And I could tell about all these other people. The point is everybody, what we are about is developing a real relationship with a real God, not a religious God. And every one of us, hear what I'm saying, has had so much religious exposure that it's going to take time for God. Because you see, we say we're open and teachable, but we're trained to be. And it's real hard for God to bring truth into us because we can only receive it one little small bite at a time, and then we fight him on that. Well, bless God, I think. And God's going, it doesn't really matter what you think. I mean, that is if you want the truth. But God deals with us patiently and kindly. He's never in a hurry. Not like me. He's never in a hurry. And he's been teaching me how to not be in a hurry. And if you only knew me for my whole life, you'd be amazed where he's brought me from where I was. And I have got such a ways to go. But our whole thing is to help each person to have this real relationship with a real God. Learn how to take their hands off the steering wheel of their life and give, yield control to Jesus. Abandon. It's one of the things I have on my visor of my truck. Abandon control to God. Abandon control to God. Please write your questions. I'll be glad to talk about them at the end. But I need you to write them down because you can't do it in the middle unless the Spirit tells me. And we talked about that last week. But anyway, please write it down. Okay? Please. Abandon control to God. And teach people how to have this real relationship where they're walking with God. They're learning to hear His voice, learning to differentiate between the other voices and the source of those voices, those thoughts that they have all the time. Because as far as I'm concerned, they only come from one of two sources, God or Satan. Well, what about my own thoughts? Every one of them was affected by one of the first two sources. Because they're either good or evil. They have their roots one place or the other. Light or darkness. Life or death. Every thought. So it had to come from one of those two. Teach people how to follow God instead of following the other. But it starts with recognizing. And then teach them how to constantly come to God, realizing that they're getting in the way. And a lot of the things they think, see, and feel are in the way of the Spirit. Leading them. Revealing. They want more, but they can't get more because they have blocks that are stopping the Spirit from leading. And even when the Holy Spirit speaks over and over again, it's not because He has a stuttering problem, it's because we haven't received it yet. And that's what He's dealing with us about. And it would be easier to be able to and make our life so much smoother if we could hear and receive the first time instead of having to go through a long period of time. You know, one more time, one more lap around the mountain, one more lap around the wilderness. Okay, I'll be right there, God. Yep, I know, only 40 more laps to go. God wants us to be able to receive quicker. And that's really what you want. That's what you pray for, is because you really want to know how to release God quicker and more fully and freely in your life. And that comes the more we let our hands off the steering wheel, the more we learn to recognize His voice, and the more we learn to yield control and follow Him without necessarily having to understand. He doesn't mind us understanding, but sometimes by the time we get it, at least what He told me, the situation or the opportunity is far past. He said, if you can lay down the right to understand, I can flow through you more, fully and freely, powerfully, quicker, accomplish a lot more when you're not in charge. One of the verses that I'm asking you to, one of the passages that I'm asking you to look up, I want you to memorize this. And it's something, I'm giving you, this is a homework assignment. I want you to begin to pray this prayer every day. It's verses right out of the Bible. But I want you to learn to pray this every day. As a matter of fact, what I would suggest to you is that you write it on 3x5 cards, one verse per card. Write it on 3x5 card. Carry it around with you. And as often as the Holy Spirit, please Holy Spirit, bring it to their mind as much as you want it to be brought to their mind. That when He brings it to your mind, when it comes to your mind, you would pull that verse out and you would pray it again. The verses are Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The last two verses of Psalm 139. And they read like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Any way outside of God is wicked. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in your way, the way everlasting. Now, that brings me to this. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not, some people, usually all of us, when we're being instructed or we come under leadership, the reason God puts us, see, everybody has leaders. Every single person, the President of the United States, most powerful man in the world, has leaders, has people that he's accountable to, has people that speak into him. And if he's a wise president, he will invite many people to speak in him. Because the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs. What I'm getting ready to tell you is not my opinion. I was praying and asking God, how do you want us to do this? But often when we have leaders, a lot of times we think that, and everybody is a mixture of flesh and spirit. Everybody allows flesh and spirit to flow through them. And if you think that you have a lot of spirit flowing through you, I dare you to ask the people that are closest to you if they're in agreement with that. And then be prepared to have your expectation a little bit let down and your balloon a little bit popped. Okay? I had a preacher I remember down in Florida. I led my aunt to the Lord when she was 79 years old. She had worked in the Pentagon, worked for senators. She was very strong personality. She was my favorite relative, and I was her favorite relative. And I had just gotten saved. And a couple of years after I had gotten saved, God gave me the opportunity, as I prayed for her, for me to talk to her about Jesus. And the night before I talked to her, before she actually accepted Christ, I said something about Jesus on the cross. Because how can you talk about salvation without talking about that? Because that's where it is. And she got so mad at me because she said, I've always accepted him in the manger as a little baby, but I've never accepted him on the cross. And my heart was broke. I was so grieved. And I went back to my dad's house and I told them, and I said, please pray for her because I love her. And I said, she's like one of my favorite people in the world and my favorite relative. And I please pray for her that her eyes would be opened. And the next day we met, and she was normally the kind of person that if she blew up like that at you, you took a couple years to recover. You didn't approach her again. And here it was the very next day, and I felt like the Spirit was pressing me to talk to her. And I'm like, I don't know how, and I'm scared. And he opened the door, and I took the Bible, and I said, remember when I was in Tennessee, and I was selling those Bibles door to door? Because she had come to Tennessee while I was doing that to visit somebody else, and heard that I was in Tennessee, and they called me so that I would make a special trip to go see her. And she said, what are you doing here? And I told her I was selling Bibles so I could go to pay my way through college. And she said, well, let me see him. And, oh, of course, she was a nice religious person. And, of course, you know, she went to church. So let me buy one of those nice Bibles from you. So she bought one. And then when I was there, this was a few years later, talking to her about salvation, I said, you remember that Bible you bought for me? She goes, yeah. I said, isn't it really nice? Like the large print. I started talking to her like as if I was talking to a customer, you know. Isn't it really nice, the large print? And like, look at this verse. Isn't it really neat how it reads? And so I started taking her through salvation verses as the Lord led me, talking about her, just saying, isn't it real nice how it's so big and clear and big print? And next thing I knew, I kept doing that. She was going, yeah, it was really nice. I really liked buying it. I thought it was really nice. She probably hadn't ever opened it after she had bought it, like most people with their Bible. And I want to hear from God, but I don't want to open my Bible. Anyway, that might be a clue there. How do you know when God's talking to you? Do you ever open your Bible? How would you recognize his voice? He's only given us one book. Why don't we read it? Anyway, and as I went on showing her this Bible and how nice the big print was and everything, but I was taking her to verses the Holy Spirit was leading me to take her to, next thing I knew, she said these words, my 79-year-old very strong personality aunt said to me, "Well, what do I need to do to be saved?" And she ended up calling out to God for mercy through the blood of Jesus and was born again. And I was like the happiest person on the earth. And anyway, one time, one of our trips down to Florida, she asked me to come visit her in her church. And we went to that church, and this preacher was preaching, and he kept saying stuff that just did not bear witness in my spirit. And I kept raising my hand and said, "Excuse me, are you saying this?" I mean, and I'd never been there before, and there was, you know, maybe a couple hundred people sitting there. And I kept interrupting his service, raising my hand. And finally they said to me, "Would you mind waiting?" After I did this several times, which I've done in a lot of different places. And he said, "Would you mind waiting till the end? And then we'll be glad to talk to you." And I said, "Sure." So I went up to him, and one of the things he had said was that he never sinned. So I went up to him afterwards and started talking to him about that. And as I did, my son, one of my sons, John, was standing behind me. And as the guy kept answering, this pastor of this church, my son kept pulling on me saying, "Has he ever read this verse?" And my son kept saying, "Ask him if he read this verse. Maybe he's never read it." You know, my son kept giving me verses to share with the guy. But it didn't matter what we said, bless God, he never sinned. He saved, and now he never sins. And I'm like, "Lord, I don't know what else to say." See, I didn't know that back then, John 15:20, Jesus said, "If they won't hear my word, they won't hear your word." If they're not hearing the word of the master, why would they listen to the word of the servant? I know that now, so if I start giving somebody the word and they won't receive it, there's no use in me talking to them anymore. Unless the Holy Spirit tells me to. But I need to go into it with my eyes open, realizing what I'm up against, which, of course, is Antichrist spirits. So finally, I said, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what else to say to this guy. I've quoted every verse I can think of. And no matter what verse I take him to," and I kept showing him in the Bible, no matter what verse I kept taking him to, he kept saying, "Nope, I don't sin. Nope, I don't sin." So I said, "Holy Spirit, what should I ask him? What else should I say?" And he said, "Ask him this." I said, "Sir, are you married?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Do you have kids?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Are they here tonight?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Could we go get them and ask them if you never sin?" His face immediately went red, got a mad look on his face, stomped his feet, said, "We're done talking." Turned around and left. By the way, when you're talking to people and you run out of ideas and you're getting frustrated, why don't you stop and ask God? Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He's not up in heaven twiddling his fingers or wringing his hands going, "I wish I knew what to say." He always knows what to say. And after he says it, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3:19. I love that verse. I love that whole passage. I love that whole book. So anyway, I said all that to say this. Every class that I have ever gone to in my life, whether it was elementary school, middle school, high school, college, extra college, whatever you call all that, different ministry trainings, every one I ever went to had a textbook. And about 2 weeks ago, God said, "Harvey," because I was asking him, "Lord, we don't have a curriculum. We don't have a," I don't know what all those words are. "We don't have all this because you've told us we've got all kinds of learning and all kinds of lessons and all kinds of teachings." But he said, all these years as he's told us that we were going to have a ministry training center, he said, "You're not going to do it like everybody else. This isn't about packing their heads with a bunch of knowledge. This is about you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and teaching them how to do the same thing. And that way it will be led and empowered, and you will be getting in on what the Spirit's up to because He knows who's going to show up and what they need. And yes, you could have a lesson prepared, but you need to be willing," he said, "for me to interrupt it. You need to be sensitive. It's not like we got a bulletin and God's got a fit. It's almost like we're going to figure He's in charge and we're going to let him do what he wants. So he said to me this. He said, Harvey, I want you to tell people there is a textbook for this class. I said, what is it? He said, it is the King James Bible. I said, Lord, if I say that, the people that are coming that don't use a King James, they're going to think, oh, this is just Harvey. This is just his opinion. He said, Harvey, they can make their choice. He said, but this isn't you. This is me. And so I am in fear and trepidation saying these words, but I'm telling you what I know the Holy Spirit told me. And when you get to heaven and you check out the DVD or video or whatever it is, MP3 or whatever it is, you're going to find out it's exactly the way I'm telling you. It happened. Because I was minding my own business and God came and interrupted me and told me this. And I had peace like a river flowing inside of me. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15, you ought to learn that and learn to live it hour by hour, by the way. I'm sorry, that was a clue. Colossians 3:15. I call it 315a because it's the first part of the verse up into the comma. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15. So he said to tell you this. Our textbook is the King James Bible. Please use it to look up all verses, assignments, and homework. You may cross-reference with other versions as you please, but every class in any school has a specific textbook. We need to be on the same page. So we went out at the Lord's leading and bought some King James Bibles, and they are over there. If you want to buy one, they're $5. I think it says on the back here they were $7. But anyway, they are $5. And if you don't want to buy one, you can use one as long as we have the class. And if you don't ever want to pay for one, you can keep it the rest of your life. We are not about making money here. We're not about charging people for ministry. We are about helping to bring you into truth. But I want everybody to have, it's not that I want, it's what God told me. He wants everybody, this is the textbook for this class. Now, I'm not asking you to do your personal devotions in the King James. But what I am going to tell you is what he told me to tell you. Seek to get the understanding from the verses in the King James Bible for each assignment. Seek to get the understanding from the verses in the King James Bible for each assignment. Ask, here's a process. Ask God to reveal it to you. Write down these verses, please. Psalm 119, verse 18. That is a prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Psalm 119, 18. Luke 24:45. Jesus is talking to the two men on the way to Emmaus. And it says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Luke 24:45. Look in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He's in there, he says, what he received from God, he said, I received it not from man or of man, but it was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. We have a whole lot of people that have a whole lot of head knowledge, but they're not wise in the Spirit. They're not sensitive to the Spirit. They're not receiving the truth that they think they have. They didn't get from the Holy Spirit. You see, you can get things in your head and think they're true. But a lot of times you'll say them. And the Holy Spirit, at times, He'll deal with you through time. I bet this happened to you. It's happened to me a bunch of times. Because I've had a bunch of sick of thinking in my head that I had to get rid of. And the Holy Spirit would have me say something. And when I said it, it did not bear witness in my spirit. Because it wasn't of the Spirit. It was something that man had put in me. And because they were my leader, I thought, oh, this must be true, because they said it. I'm not looking for you to be Harveyites or Sueites. What I want you to be is Christians. And the way you're going to know that is, I don't want you, just because we say it doesn't make it true. But just because you think different doesn't make us wrong. So what we all need to do, I like that. Did y'all hear that? Just because we said it doesn't make it true. But just because you think different doesn't make what we said wrong. That's huge. If you didn't get anything else today but that, if you own that, it will help you. You see, you may know a lot of things. You may come and receive, but you don't own them. You own them when they're planted down inside of you and they're bringing forth fruit. You don't just own them because you could turn around and tell people about them. When it talks about the sower went forth to sow, wasn't there some that received it with gladness and immediately sprung up a plant? But because it had no root, it did not endure. Do you understand? We're not just looking for fruity Christians. We're looking for rooty Christians. Got me? There's enough fruits out there. If you've got the root, you're going to produce ripe fruit. Just because you're fruity doesn't mean you're rooty. I like this saying that just to mess with you. He told me to share this with you, a process in reading. Read, like when we give you assignments or homework, please write this. It won't hurt you. Read, then reread, then ask God for revelation, then reread, then meditate, and before meditating, you might want to write it down so that you can carry it around and meditate on it. Kind of like a jawbreaker. You know, you carry it around your mouth, savoring on it all day. Okay? It ain't a donut. Okay? I am. Read, reread, ask God for revelation, then reread. Maybe you want to write it down and then meditate. I'm going to keep going, but I'll come back, okay? Then you're going to wait on God, and then you're going to be open to the Holy Spirit and new thoughts. I'll go over that again, but I want to say something. If I'm asking you to read the King James Bible and you're used to reading some other version, your first inclination that I want you to break agreement with is to take, and when you read the King James, go, what? I don't know what that's saying. So the first thing you're going to want to do is run back to your other version. Oh, that's what it's saying. If they were all saying the same thing, they wouldn't need to have different versions. If you were the devil and you couldn't get people to quit reading the Bible, what would be one of your attacks? Well, how about if we change what it says slightly here and there? Are you following what I'm saying? If you're running back to your other version, you're not really asking God. And you're not really letting this be your textbook. Because what you're doing is, you're trying to understand this with that. I'm trying to help you to understand this with Him. Read, reread, ask God for revelation, reread, write it down, if it's a verse, for example, or a thought, write it down to carry with you. Meditate on it. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. How about Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I like that verse. Joshua 1:8. How about Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? And it talks about, maybe it's verses 1 through 3. And it talks about this word being planted in you, and you'll become like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Your leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever you do, prospers or something. Look it up. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. This is our textbook. Now let me ask you a question. This thought keeps being in the back of my mind, so I keep feeling like I'm supposed to say it, but I don't know where to fit it in, so I'm going to fit it in right here. And this goes along with receiving from God. What is going to be different this time in your learning than every other time? what's going to be different? I ask God for my own life. Why do I see things? And I try to share them with others that have bigger congregations and that know more than I do and seem to be much more polished. And I would think you'd be able to flow through them a whole lot better than me. I'm kind of like this rough cob, kind of thrown over in the, kicked against a curb somewhere. What about all these other people? You know, God, why don't they see it? How come when I try to share these thoughts, they look at me like an RCA dog? They go, huh? Huh? Or like Trixie. I'm going to go, you know, hi, Trixie. Huh? Huh? You see, she's trying to understand. I share this with people that have all these degrees, huge congregations of thousands, and I try sharing stuff with them, and they can't see it. I ask them, do you know what I'm talking about? And they don't know what I'm talking about. And I ask God, why? And I've done this around the country. Why? What God said to me was, Harvey, years ago, when you got saved, you were a drug dealer, and you were blown away that you met me. And how could you miss something as big as me your whole life? After having been baptized by six different denominations and did everything churches told you how to do and learned all this stuff, so much so that when they asked you questions, you could answer them so much they all thought you already had what they were trying to sell. He said, you were completely blown away when you met me. You just couldn't believe, how could I have missed you all this time? He said, so what you did was you came to me and said, God, here is the blackboard of my life. And on my blackboard is all the things that I, other things that I believe, other things that I think are true. But if I missed you and you're the biggest truth and I missed you and I was wrong on that, then maybe some of these things are wrong and I don't even know. Hint, that's why it's called deception. Because we don't know. But we think we do. That's why we're deceived. Get it? Isn't that clue? I mean, it's so simple. But we miss that. I'm not trying to be funny, and yet I am. I'm trying to be clear. I'm trying to help you to get this. Because this alone could revolutionize your life. This one thing alone. I am not kidding you. Because if you don't get this, you're going to go through life kind of fighting truth, kind of being brought in, kind of having to go the long way around to learn. I'm serious. If you get this, and if you make this your prayer and your decision, your choice, we talked about that in the beginning, choices, you are going to be so much further ahead than probably almost anybody you know. I am telling you the truth. Do with it what you want. God, here's the blackboard of my life. Here's all the things that I think. Here's all my opinions, all my feelings, all my belief systems, all my thoughts, all my learning, all my knowledge, all things that this has got to be right because I know that can't be right. And so, Lord, I'm bringing them to you and saying, here, I'm bringing them to you and saying, maybe I'm wrong. If I missed you, maybe all these other things that I'm pretty sure about, I'm wrong about too. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite you. Here's the eraser to the blackboard of my life. And you know what's right and I don't. And I believe you're right about everything. So I'm inviting you to take the eraser to the blackboard of my life. And anything that's on my blackboard that I think I'm right about, but you know whether I'm right or wrong on it. If I'm wrong about it, please erase it. And then here's the chalk. I'm inviting you to rewrite on the table of my heart what is of you. I'm asking you to write this down. God is eternally right. And we are eternally wrong. Except only in those places that God says we are in agreement with Him. God is eternally right, and we are eternally wrong, except only in those places that God says we are in agreement with Him. The most important line in that whole statement is that God says. Because if we think we're right and God says, nope, you're wrong on this, but we still think we're right, we're still wrong. Are you with me? Now let me ask you some questions. Did God bring you here? First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. Please write this verse down and look it up. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. I believe that we have no right to choose where we go to church. For example, I can apply that in many different things, but let's just say going to church. I believe we have no right to choose where we go to church. The verse reads, God has set the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. Not as it hath pleased our flesh. Well, I like all these people, so I'll just go here. Oh, well, they've got something for my kids. I'll go here. Oh, well, this is close to my house. I'll go here. Doesn't matter what they're teaching. They're all the same. It doesn't matter what name is up there. Or it does matter because that's what's most important. No, that's not what's most important. What's most important is, where does God want you? So I'm asking you, did God bring you here? Are you willing to be taught? Are you willing to do something with what you hear? Are you willing to do something with what you receive? If God brought you here, God bless you, why? If God brought you here, why? And what happens if God brought you here, but we say something that ruffles your feathers? We say something that you're vehemently opposed to. What happens? You see, I'm going to make this statement. This is huge. We think we're under authority. But you find out if you're under authority, if when you disagree, how you respond when you disagree. See, people say, oh, I'm under authority. Oh, but I'm not going to do that. We had some people ask us for counseling. They said, we're going to do this. We want you to pray about it. I prayed about it. God gave me a check in my spirit that they weren't waiting on Him or doing it His way. I'm like, I don't want to call Him, Lord. How do you know if it's really God? Well, if I want to straighten them out, it's probably flesh. It's probably pride. If I don't want to call them, but I don't want to say that, Lord, and the thought keeps coming to me, I want you to say it, and you get to a place where you're on your knees begging, please, I don't want to say this. It's probably God. But if you're like, I can't wait to see Him because I want to tell Him, if I had to bet, it ain't God. It's you. It's flesh, it's pride, it's some spirit that's not God's. After God dealt with me, I finally called Him. I didn't want to call Him. This was a huge decision they were making. I called Him. I feel like we need to get together and talk. Oh, did God give you something? Yeah. What did He give you? That's why we need to get together and talk. So we spent an hour, hour and a half, my wife and I, talking to him, telling him, what you're doing may not be, we don't know if it's God or not, but we know that there's something that God is saying you're not doing it His way. You're trying to do it your way. You're in control and God's not. He wants you to wait on Him. Thanks for talking to us. Hug. They left. So they informed us in a few days, we're going to go ahead and do what we were going to do anyway. But you will still continue to counsel with us, right? We like more counseling. Why? If you ask me to spend time praying about something, do you understand? I don't just go, hey, God, you want to tell me something? Let me know. Do you understand? I take time. Do you understand? I take that personally. I take that as very important. And we spend time. And then God has to, we have to wrestle with God because we don't want to get in the way. We don't want to tell you. We're not trying to run your lives. Like this whole thing of the King James. Lord, there's nothing it's me. Herb, tell him. I don't want to. I know. But God, I know. Do you hear me? So we spend all this time, we wrestle with God, we finally, it's God, okay, we'll do it. I mean, and this is taking a lot of our time, do you understand? A lot of our energy. I mean, He has to deal with us. You understand? Because we're no better than anybody else. It would be easy to just try to run people's lives, just tell them. Sometimes we've said, why can't we just counsel with people, tell them what they need, they go home and do it, and it works. Why do we got to see them every week? Why do we got to talk to them about 50,000 times? How come we have to watch them for years, constantly not doing what we taught them, and they're sitting there, and they tell us they love us, and they love God, but they don't follow? Why can't it be easy? We just tell them, here's the truth, do it. Slap them in the face once or twice, maybe they get it, understand it's important, and go home and just do what we tell them. Because God gives us a free will. God doesn't want people to be treated like that. God is all about relationship. God is not in a hurry. And God suffered with their manners in the wilderness for 40 years. And one, you want to be like Jesus? I'm telling you right now, one of the attributes is to be long-suffering. Do you know how you get long-suffering developed in you? By having to suffer a long time with people. Without cutting them off, without cutting their heads off, without slapping them, without kicking them, without backbiting, without having to deal with all their stupidity and all their wrong choices and all their emergencies because they didn't listen and all their stuff that they say to you that just grieves you to tears. And you begin to learn long-suffering. Harv, you want to be like me? Yes, Lord. Well, guess what you're going to get to learn now? Guess the thing we're going to work on. What's that? Long-suffering. I'm sorry, what'd you say? Long-suffering. Lord, I hope you didn't say what I thought you said. Did you say, what'd you say? Did you say love? Oh, did you say power? Oh, did you say position? Oh, did you say a bunch of people? No, I said long-suffering. Lord, I'm not really anxious to learn that. Yeah, Herb, I know. But you said you wanted to be like me, right? Yeah. And you did say I could be in charge this time. I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, guess what? That's what we're going to learn. I don't want to learn that. I know, Herb, but I'm going to work in you and adjust your attitude. You see, I'm going to change your want to, okay, to help you. Because, Herb, this is what you need. And this is how I want to live through you, and this is what people need. Because most people won't go this far. This is not what they want. It's an answer to prayer, but I don't want that answer. Let me tell you the answer I want, and then you just do it, because you're my little genie, right? Jesus on the cross on my little neck, my little rabbit's foot. No, I think I'll be called Lord, you know, master boss, one who calls the shots. I think I'll be in charge today. And a day is as 1,000 years. So get it? Okay. Beware. So, did God bring you here? Commit and submit to that. Write this down. We can't improve on what God says. We can't improve on what God says. Now, I wrote on here, beware. With one thought, this is huge, with one thought or with one statement, we can wipe away and negate the truth. I've talked to people. I've got somebody, oh my word, and I talk to them and tell them, look, you're doing wrong. You did this, you did that, da 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 da, this is the way to do it, blah 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 blah. And we get to the end and they say, but I'm doing my best. And by that one little statement, I'm doing my best, they wiped away everything I said. It's like, everything you said may be true, but I'm doing my best, so there's no reason for me to change. I'm doing my best. And that is such a subtle work of the enemy to do away with or negate, wipe away the truth. Wipe away instruction. Look in the book of Proverbs, or look in your concordance on the word instruction. Who receives it? Who rejects it? Beware. If we already know the truth, teachers won't be able to help us. If we already know the truth, teachers won't be able to help us. Because we're wiping away so much of what they say, because I already know the truth on that. And we can't go further if we already think we know the truth. If we are open to instruction, willing to question what we now hold to be true, what a statement. If we are open to instruction, willing to question what we now hold to be true, willing to openly and honestly consider the teaching, willing to search the Scripture, our textbook, then the Holy Precious Spirit may be able to get breakthrough in our lives. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad you asked. Y'all got good questions. Acts 17:11. John 16, verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 26. 1 John 2, verse 27. Chapter 5, verse 9. Acts 17:11. John 16:13. John 14:26. 1 John 2:27. 1 John 5:9. If it's really of God, it's going to bear witness in your spirit. You do understand. Pay attention. Watch. This is visual. You do understand there's three levels of learning. There's head learning, there's heart belief, and then there's spirit quickening. Which do you think is the best? Where do you think most of us live? The other two. Romans 8, verse 14 or 16, it says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I want you to hear, what do you do? Because we're going to be done here, okay? And I got a birthday party for Jackson, and he can't hardly wait. We got him this train set, as if we needed another train set in our house. He's already got about 10, and now we're going to make it number 11. But he can't hardly wait. And we got him a cake with Thomas the Train colorings and stuff, you know? And yeah, I think it's mine. No, it's Jackson, and I get to share it with him because my middle name is Jackson. Okay, now, I wonder where he got his name. But anyway, here we go. Are you ready? Now y'all made me forget what I was going to say. What was I going to say? Oh, what do you do with all that's been said today? I'm giving you a key, and the title of this message is Keys to Receive and Advance. Keys to Receive and Advance. Can I give you a key and then we're done? What do you do with everything I'm saying? Or what do you do when you're trying to learn something in a teaching setting? What do you do with it? Do you go home and you try to cram it in your head? You try to memorize it all? Haven't we done that? I mean, what's other ways we can do it? What do we do? What's other things we do? Huh? Meditate on it, okay? What are other things we do? Pray about it. What else?
I usually go back. I let it settle and then come back like a day or two and then reread over my notes again and go back to the verses and then...
Okay. Okay. What else could we do, Lloyd? You know, we're supposed to be learning something, like in school or something. What did you do when you were in school and you were supposed to learn? What did you do? You didn't learn, I know. That's right, draw pictures. That's right, Clay. I knew. I was looking for the Clay answer. You know, I want to get make sure we got that on the tape.
Excuse Go ahead. Me, the best way to learn.
Teaching is the best way to learn?
Get tested on it.
All of these are good things. Can I just share a key with you that God taught me that has really helped me a lot? All these things are good, but I like this one the best. It's not drawing pictures, Clay. I just thought you'd know that. It goes like this. I go home, or I get away from there, and I say, Dear Holy Spirit, I want to receive the truth in what I was taught that you want me to receive. And I'm asking you to come and be my teacher. I'm asking you to come and work it inside of me. I'm asking you to come do it. And if you lead me that I'm supposed to write it down and meditate and, you know, memorize, meditate, okay. If you lead me to do this or do that, whatever. But I need you to do what I can't do for myself. I need you to unlayer me. I need you to expose error. I need you to reveal truth. I need you to bring me into oneness with you. Because I don't know how to get there. But you do. And you're good at it. So I'm inviting you to take these tools, these seed thoughts, and work them inside of me. Whatever it takes, I'm giving you free rein. I want what you want. Please work it inside of me. And I believe it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. It's talking about how parents are supposed to train their kids, and it says, and you talk to them as you walk, and you talk to them as they lay down, and you teach them as you're eating, and you teach them as you're working. In other words, the principle there is the Holy Spirit, as far as teaching goes, I think the best teacher is repetition, because that's what Jesus did, and asking people questions. See, I could tell you all these things, but what I would like to do, I don't have time today, but what I would like to do is sit down and ask you questions. Because see, I can tell you what all God has shared with me, but when I start asking questions, as time goes on, we're going to do that. I'm going to find out what's in you. And by the way, this is a class of participation. I'm going to give you homework. And then I'm going to say, when you come the next week, hey, did you do your homework? Well, yeah, and you'll say whatever your words are, and then I'm going to say, well, why don't you share it with us? And as time goes on, I'm going to ask you questions because I want to find out what's inside of you. Because as I find out what's inside of you, I could pray for you, and God will reveal to me how to help you individually. Are you with me? Lord, you know what I need. Please come be my need meter. You know where there's error, and you know the truth I need. And if I knew how to do it, I'd already be there. We commit this time, these words, these thoughts, this teaching into your hands, precious Jesus. And I'm asking that you and your Spirit would work these things that you want for us right now, the things that we need right now. You would work them inside of us in the way only you know how to do. Please expose the blocks and the mindsets that keep us, prevent us from receiving truth or light or even your life or even more important, your presence. Please reveal them. Expose them to us. Help us to understand, Holy Spirit, we need to simply break agreement with them and invite you to come in. Choose you over everything else. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody have anything to say or questions, Lloyd?
Well, what's that word?
Hang on one second.